Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Some see in this famous verse a promise that all in a family will come to faith. Today we'll see what Acts 16:31 actually means. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series on light shining in darkness, how the gospel impacts culture. Paul and Silas are miraculously freed from jail. The terrified jailer asks how he can be saved, and this famous verse was spoken.
Now, this verse has often been misinterpreted. You have, for example, the idea of household salvation, that if you as parents are saved, this means it's a guarantee that your children will be. No, 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 no. Notice that they preached the word to all who were in the house, and they all believed. That's the whole idea. It's also been misinterpreted because this is a great verse for those who believe in infant baptism. They say, see, the whole household was baptized. Surely there was a little baby there. Well, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but I don't see anything about babies here. I hear that they went and they preached the word to all who were in the house. I don't think they went over to the crib and preached the word to the baby and then baptized him. But nonetheless, you'll notice in verse 34, they brought them up into his house, set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. What a story. What a story. Let's just pause for a minute here and catch our breath. What was it about the early Christians that helped them transform their world and their culture? What did they have that perhaps we don't? What was this motivation, this sense of invincibility that would not stop them? Well, first of all, number one was faith. Faith. Faith that the gospel could spread no matter the opposition. They believed that no heart was too hard. No situation was too difficult for God. They did not look at the laws of the land as being a hindrance to their proclamation of the gospel. They did not allow the situations of persecution, the beatings, Paul says, by the way, in Corinthians, three times I was beaten with rods. Never stopped him, just kept on going because they believed that God was in everything, even the opposition that they had. I envy their faith. I wish I had that kind of faith. Secondly, joy. Joy just erupts from these pages. You'll notice it says that the jailer rejoiced. When you read the book of Acts, it's just like getting joy in your face like you get water from a jet ski. Just all over, there's joy, joy. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and joy, it always adds. Where in the world is all that coming from? You know, of course, the filling of the Spirit, love, joy, and nobody could shut it off. Now, let me speak to you candidly. Why don't we have that kind of joy? I think I know, and I don't particularly like the answer, but it's a true answer. Sin causes the cup of joy to spring a leak. Sin siphons joy from our hearts like a hose siphons gasoline out of your car tank. Sin blocks all joy. Sin is always angry, negative, and lacks the eruption of the Spirit. Here we find joy because they believe that God was in it and it didn't matter. They'd be faithful no matter what. Let me read to you the words of Michael Green, whom I also met, by the way, when I was in Europe last week. You cannot defeat men like this, he says. Tell them to keep quiet and they disobey you. Throw them into prison and they convert the jailer. Whip them and they rejoice to be allowed to suffer for Christ's name. Stone them to within an inch of their lives in one city and they carry on with just the very same message in the next. Kill them and others arise to take their place. Endurance like that simply has to win in the long run. You see, what the disciples believed sitting there in prison, Paul and Silas, with all these wounds and all these pains and their feet cramped, what they believed were the words of Jesus, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so treated they the prophets that were before you." Every bit of opposition was considered as a reason for joy, and they just went on believing. And then, of course, last, not only faith and joy, but they had this confidence in the gospel message. They believed that the gospel could change people, and obviously there in Philippi it did. Now, this is the beginning of the church in Philippi. You have a woman with a tender heart, and she's a businesswoman who has done well. Her name is Lydia. You have this tormented girl, and she becomes a believer after Paul's intervention in her life, I'm sure, and the demons leave so that she can believe. And then you have a jailer, the tough man. And isn't it interesting? Same message for all of them. Same message for the poor as for the rich, the educated and the uneducated. And it is the gospel that binds them together. And years later, the Apostle Paul is going to write a book of the New Testament called the Book of Philippians. And it is written to the church at Philippi. And as you know, that book is filled with the topic of joy. And these are the people to whom he's going to write and encourage in the faith, the confidence of the gospel. I have confidence that the gospel could change you today if you believed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Because Jesus died for sinners, and because he died for sinners, and because he triumphed over evil, there is no spirit in this world that will not obey the command of Jesus. When Jesus says leave, he must leave, because Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of all gods. And that's why you and I need to have the same confidence, the confidence that when we take people to a service where the gospel is preached or word is performed, that that gospel can change them, that the hardness of their heart, the indifference that they have shown, can be overcome by a message empowered by the Spirit. And that's why we witness at work. That's why we are sensitive to the Spirit's leading in offices, hospitals, banks, wherever God has placed us. Well, what does it mean to believe on Jesus? Well, you know, there is this story about a doctor who said to a patient who was witnessing to him, "I believe in God and I believe in Jesus, but I have no assurance of my salvation." Maybe you're here today like that. You believe in God, you believe in Jesus, but you have no assurance of your salvation. And the patient said, "Well, prior to my coming here months ago, I knew about you, I believed in you, but more recently, you gave me a prescription I couldn't read. I gave it to a pharmacist whom I've never met, and he gave me medicine that I cannot pronounce, but I accepted it, and it's worked now I trust you. I not only believe in you, now I have proved my trust. And that's the bottom line. What that tough man, you know, the guy, I dare you to convert me. That's the kind of man the jailer was before the earthquake. He changed his mind afterwards. That message changed him, changed his household. Can change you and change your household too. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, transfer your trust to him, and you shall be saved. There you have it. Transforms culture because it transforms people and can transform you today, right now. I mean right now. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for these accounts that have been so beautifully preserved and so accurately preserved in your word. Thank you for the courage of the early church. Thank you, Father, that there was nothing that could stop them because of irrepressible joy and faith and confidence. Would you do that in my heart, and would you do that in the heart of the members and the friends and the attenders at Moody Church? Would you, Father, by your Spirit, teach us anew what it is to represent you where you've planted us? And for those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, even as I pray this prayer, may they call out to you and say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust him for my salvation. You can say that wherever you are, whether you are here today, listening by radio, on the internet. I'm giving you a moment. Call out to Jesus today. Tender heart, tormented heart, tough heart. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Father, hear the cry of all of us today, we pray. And may we be willing to follow you no matter the cost. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, as you've been listening to this message, I want to emphasize again the simplicity of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And if you do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, let us know about it. We're always greatly encouraged when we hear that the ministry of Running to Win is a blessing to people. We're so thankful for those of you who pray for us, those of you who support us with your funds. Together we are making a difference, one life at a time, one listener at a time. But at the end of the day, it is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings about the transformation all of us seek. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up The Light Shines in a Prison, the first message in a series on light shining in darkness. Next time on Running to Win, we travel to Athens to see how the light shines on Mars Hill. Light Shining in Darkness, 8 messages on CD, can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.